This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Both the Bethel Regional High School's Warriors and Lady Warriors won close contest in the first games of the 3A Western Conference Regional Tournament yesterday. Now, if they win their regional championship games tonight in Kotzebue, they will advance to the state tournament. KYUK's Greg Kim talked to the Bethel coaches about how the regional tournament has been going.
In a game that went into overtime yesterday, the second-seeded Lady Warriors beat the third-seeded Nome Lady Nanooks in a gritty finish, 50-46. Lady Warriors head coach Regina Lieb said they anticipated it'd be a tough game, having played Nome twice this season before yesterday.
And we knew that it'd be a battle, and they had to be mentally, physically tough and stay in control. It was a pretty fast-paced game, very, very physical, and it just was an emotional game across the board.
She said this team has overcome challenges this season, coming together after a year of basically not playing organized basketball because of the pandemic.
But this team really has gelled. They've worked well together. They believe in each other, and I think that's kind of what helped them get to where they are today.
The Bethel boys also won a close game yesterday. The third-seeded Bethel Warriors upset the second-seeded Barrow Whalers 49-46. Here's boys head coach Eric Young with a bit of play-by-play.
We tied right at the very end of halftime, and then Peter Crow made basically a buzzer-beater three-pointer to put us up by three at halftime. And then the second half, you know, stayed just right at that margin. We'd get up by five. They'd close it to a two-point game. We'd get up by four. They'd close it to a one-point game, and it just stayed really, really close the whole way through the second half. It was a great game.
This boys' team features many underclassmen, but the coach says some of the freshmen like Madden Cockcroft and Gus Erickson are no longer looking like freshmen.
Having a young team, I knew we were going to struggle earlier in the season, and it's starting to click for some of them.
Here's what Young is planning to say to his team before the big game tonight.
A big part of it's going to be, hey, enjoy the moment. We battle hard to get here. Make sure you enjoy it because you only get a couple of these in your lifetime.
The girls' team will play the Barrow Lady Whalers tonight in the regional tournament finals at 6 p.m., followed by the boys playing the Nome Nanooks at 7:30. Tune into KYUK 6:40 a.m. for live broadcasts of both regional championship games. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
In more sports news, today marks day six of the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. We're continuing to follow the two YK Delta mushers competing along the trail. ANIAC's Richie Deal has passed the race's halfway point, and Bethel's Pete Kaiser isn't far behind. Richie Deal is resting in the Ruby checkpoint on the Yukon River with 11 dogs. He was the fifth musher to arrive, and it's where he told Alaska Public Media that he plans to take his required 8-hour layover. Recent snow has slowed the trail, and Deal described a long, chilly run getting into the checkpoint.
We were dealing with the wind and snow ever since over, and then the wind kept howling, you know, through most of the night. So it made it interesting.
So far, he says, his team is in fine condition.
Kind of a slow trail here and there, and so hard to judge them, but they were still doing well.
Like all the front-running mushers, Deal hasn't slept much since the race began. He said his brain was slow in processing, and the last time he slept was yesterday for about an hour, about 17 miles outside the Cripple checkpoint. He'll be able to get a few hours sleep during his 8-hour rest. Then he's looking forward to racing west along the Yukon Flats to the coast.
Seems like we've been dealing with the moguls from the start, and it'll be nice to be on the river.
During that run, he'll be keeping an eye on the four mushers ahead of him.
At some point, you gotta, you know, start making decisions if you want to move up further. So, I don't know. We'll just keep playing it and watching and seeing what happens here.
He said there's still half the race to go, and his team is still getting into its rhythm. Deal has dropped three dogs along the trail. Those dogs have been sent to Anchorage. Yesterday, race officials announced that one of Deal's dogs had escaped from the dog lot at the Lakefront Anchorage Hotel. The dog's name is Jimbo, and the race is asking the public's help in finding him. Jimbo escaped during an hourly veterinary check. Our other YK Delta musher, Pete Kaiser, is about a dozen miles outside the Ruby checkpoint, according to the Iditarod GPS tracker. He has 13 dogs in harness and is ranked in 13th position along the trail. Deal and Kaiser have held these approximate positions throughout most of the race so far, and the two frontrunners have also remained consistent. Brent Sass in first position and Dallas Seavey in second. Both are heading towards the Galena checkpoint, the next stop after Ruby. Moving now to the state legislature. A public safety bill is working its way through the Alaska House of Representatives. The bill's authors say its aim is to improve the Village Public Safety Officer Program in rural Alaska. Yesterday, the proposed bill moved out of the House Committee on Tribal Affairs. This brings it one step closer to becoming law. KYUK's Olivia Eberts reports that community leaders from across the YK Delta called into the committee this week to voice support for the bill.
Brandon Aguchuk is the tribal administrator for Scammon Bay. He's felt the loss of their only VPSO deeply.
We haven't had all VPSO since 2017, resulting in higher and more significant rate of drug and alcohol abuse in our community.
Scammon Bay is not the only community that's lost a VPSO over the last decade. In the YK Delta alone, only about 14% of communities have either a trooper or a VPSO post. Many YK Delta residents say that lack of public safety leaves their communities vulnerable to crime. Napakiak resident Daniel Nelson says it's more peaceful in town when there's a VPSO.
When we used to have a VPSO program, the village is very in control. Everybody is respecting it and the village is quiet.
Proponents of the bill say it could fill a much-needed public safety gap in rural Alaska. They say it could improve the VPSO program in three main ways. First, it could increase officer retention. Second, it would seek to hire more qualified candidates by increasing the stringency of the background checks and psychological evaluations. Third, it would give the nonprofits and municipalities that employ VPSOs more freedom to station the officers as they see fit. For example, the communities could have roving officers who move from village to village or place more than one officer in a community. The House Committee invited two leaders from the YK Delta to explain how the bill could help rural Alaska. Vivian Corthius is the CEO of the Association of Village Council Presidents. The tribal nonprofit runs the VPSO program in the YK Delta. She said the bill was desperately needed.
One of the greatest public safety needs in rural Alaska is local law enforcement presence within our villages.
Eileen Arnold also spoke in support of the bill. She's the executive director of the Tundra Women's Coalition, a women's shelter in Bethel. Arnold said that VPSOs are an important tool in addressing sexual violence in the region. She said in villages without VPSOs, it can be difficult to go through the proper steps needed to prove a rape after it's occurred, like securing a crime scene and evidence. Arnold also said that, depending on the case, sometimes local VPSOs make people feel safer than state troopers. She cited one instance where a woman in a village was told she could be escorted by a trooper to remove her from her domestic violence situation and bring her to the Bethel shelter. Arnold said the woman turned down the trooper escort, saying it would have escalated the situation. As a result, the woman was not able to leave her domestic violence situation. Arnold suggested she would have felt safer with the option of a VPSO.
Sometimes it's best to just be able to have a local law enforcement do something calm and everyday, like just escort a person to an airstrip as opposed to coming and knocking on the door.
She said if the officer's a locally known person, they would be less likely to cause alarm or retaliation in the abuser. The House bill must first be heard in the House Finance Committee before it can be moved back onto the House floor for a final vote. In Juneau, I'm Olivia Eberts.
Turning to health news. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation says it suspects that a contaminated shipment of street drugs has reached the region, and it could contain a potentially deadly dose of the synthetic opioid fentanyl. YKHC issued a statement saying that over the past week, there's been an increase in patients who require a larger-than-usual dose of Narcan, a medication that can temporarily reverse the effects of opioid overdoses. The treatment is also referred to as naloxone. YKHC encourages anyone who uses opioids or is around people who use opioids to have naloxone. It is available at the Bethel Pharmacy and Village Clinics. It can be administered by a nasal spray or injection. The Health Corporation encourages anyone who is administering naloxone to call 911 or their village clinic, especially if the person does not respond to an initial dose of the medication. In more health news, soon nearly everyone in the YK Delta can have access to free N95 masks. When worn correctly, the masks, also called respirators, are able to filter out small airborne particles like the COVID-19 virus. The mask will be distributed to villages and they will be available for free. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation is partnering with tribes across the region to distribute the N95 masks to residents. The masks come from the Indian Health Service. YKHC's goal is to ship out enough N95s to each village so each resident has two free masks. Each village should receive an initial shipment by March 25th, and tribes will then distribute the masks to community members. In Bethel, residents can pick up N95 masks next Sunday, March 20th from 12 to 3 p.m. They'll be available at the COVID-19 testing site in the parking lot across from the hospital. If YKHC runs out of those masks at the event, they will hand out other ones known as KN95 masks. YKHC will later announce other ways Bethel residents can access N95 masks. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Koyana for listening. Please email us your news tips, comments, or suggestions to news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yukdoon. Coming up.